Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, March 4th, 2015. And with me today, I have my team of Silicon Valley experts. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I'm expertly watching Silicon Valley from 3,000 miles away.
Which is a safe distance.
And the first season was really good.
It was really, really good. Yeah. I love that Pied Piper logo that they painted on the garage there.
For all of our listeners, the Mac Observer just neither endorses nor asserts Dave Hamilton's opinions as our own.
That's right. And that's not safe for work.
Not safe for work.
That other voice you're hearing is my personal attorney, Brian Chaffin.
Oh, man, you're in trouble. Thanks for having me.
I know. And yeah, it's great to have both you guys here. And okay, so the Silicon Valley thing, I brought that up not only so, Dave, you could make some comments that we'll probably get some people in trouble at work later on. Well done.
Yeah, listen, and I'm glad that that was off the cuff because it makes it even more enjoyable for me. So,
yeah, that's one of the things that I love about this show. We can find ways to screw up people's daily work routine without even trying.
Yeah, it's like screwing up the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, it's almost exactly like that. Okay, so the first thing that I wanted to take a look at today is this report that it's not a report. It's actually happening. Apple is going to be hiring some of the contract security staff that they use at their facilities in and around Silicon Valley. They're turning them into their own employees. And
it is about darn time.
Yeah, it is, and the union that represents these workers is very pleased about this, and they're glad that Apple is setting an example for other Silicon Valley companies. And to be fair, though, I have to say Google did this first. They did this back in October.
Here's the really interesting thing. First of all, it is the right thing to do, in my opinion, just from the standpoint of being a good employer, which Apple typically is and Google typically is. The really weird thing about it to me is, how was Apple ever comfortable with having security staff not be Apple employees? I mean, these are security people.
Well, I have a thought about that. I mean, when you're a technology company, right, and you're really good. I mean, Apple is one of the best technology companies at saying no to more things than they say yes to. A lot more things than they say yes to, right? They know their strengths, and managing a team of security guards very much was not one of their strengths, right? So you either have to hire the infrastructure in terms of hiring employees that know how to manage security guards, or you simply contract the whole shooting match out to a company that does just that. And I mean, it's like us, right? When we started TMO, there were no web hosting companies. I mean, they literally didn't exist. So we, rented a server in a place and we figured out how to do that. But, and we actually got pretty good at it. But that's crazy talk. Now you don't need to get good at managing a server. You just hire somebody that knows how to do that as part of your contract that gets, that puts your website online.
Yeah, so first of all, Dave, you got really, really good at it.
Yeah,
and
I did.
and massive kudos. I mean, folks have no idea how hard you worked at it and the capabilities that we very quickly generated.
And I absolutely love that when it was time for the server thing to happen, instead of saying, oh, well, no one does this, we're kind of screwed. You're just like, all right, let's make this. And
let's,
did.
Let's learn Linux. Yeah, well, right. And thank you. I appreciate you noticing. And I know this isn't the first time you've noticed, Brian. It makes sense, especially with security, because it really is kind of it's a whole different thing.
No, listen, I hear what you're saying, man. I hear what you're saying. You know, I get the strengths and their okay, fine. But we're talking about Apple Incorporated, a company infamous for the levels it goes to protect its secrets. We're talking about a company that maintains an enormous amount of control over all of its employees because they're a direct conduit to all of their secrets.
Right.
And it seems like, if anyone was good, it seems like they would temp, low-level software engineers before they'd ever temp a security guard. Like Microsoft, Microsoft does, right? Microsoft was infamous for having, this army of Microsofts who were temporary employees who were all worked, just enough hours to keep them from having to get benefits and all these other things that large corporations normally use temp, quote unquote temp people to do.
Right.
And it just seems like security guards would have been the last thing that Apple would have done that with.
Yeah, I wonder if though this is simply an old habits die hard scenario, right? Because if Apple were starting at the size and scope and scale that they are today, absolutely makes sense for them to hire their own intern. Right? I mean, everybody would agree with for all the exactly the reasons you just said. But Apple didn't start out this way. They started as a couple of guys in a garage, right? And then they got to the point where they needed security. And it's like, but we need security like right now. And so the easiest way to do that is contract it out, right? Because we can have a security guard here literally in 20 minutes. maybe not 20 minutes, but certainly by the end of the day and definitely by tomorrow morning, we have all the security guards we need, right? I feel like that may be, and then it's like, well, they've been doing this forever and the contract grows and expands and now you've got a whole division of a security company that has nothing but Apple security personnel that they work with. And now that's almost become part of Apple. It's not technically, but they've groomed that security company in such a way that they're doing everything that they would want them to do.
They did, but they also had security guards picketing.
Yeah.
And protesting for years.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And they weren't paid very well.
Because they were paid by the contracting company.
Right.
Apple really didn't have any say in that part of it.
Well, Apple has every say in the world.
Of course they do.
Okay.
Come on, man.
But I want to point out.
Just like in China.
Something, Brian, because you alluded to it and then moved past it. And I feel like people that listen to this podcast and people that are steeped in Apple and maybe even hate Android for various good and bad reasons might not realize that, at least based on what I've seen from my 3,000 miles away, the culture in Silicon Valley is that if you're someone that wants to work for a technology company, Google is the company you want to work for. That's the one everybody strives to get to. And for many, Apple is seen as a step along the way. Google is the company that has the best reputation for how it treats its employees and all of that. Not that Apple is bad, but Google is in the grand scale, at least from what I've seen. And Brian, I'm curious if you've seen this too. Google is seen as better.
I think that in some ways Google is seen as better, in part because of what you just said, that they had a very good reputation for employee perks and employee on campus perks in particular.
That's right.
But I actually think that there's been a little bit of a shift in the last year or two.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
And part of that may be because at this point, you got to be the best to work at Apple, and I think a lot of people want to find out if they're the best.
Well, fair enough.
I also think that there's been plenty of money flowing around, and of course, Apple's stock is the one that's making people the most money.
True.
Right? Yeah, so that has a huge effect on it. Sorry, Jeff.
Oh, it's all right. I've talked to a few former Google employees who left on good terms. So they had no reason to bag on the company. And they said that they felt many of the on-campus perks were disingenuous. And instead of being there to make employees happier, they were designed to keep employees from going other places, like leaving campus for lunch
or taking
breaks.
I think that was stated.
Oh,
by Google. I don't think that was inferred.
Right. Yeah, that was part of the drill.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. So in that sense, if Apple is offering employee incentives and perks that appear to be more altruistic, well, then that's a point in their favor.
Well, I mean, Google also clamped down on some things like the 20% time, which was famous.
Yes.
Right. You know, you were allowed to spend 20% of your time on whatever project you wanted to. And anything that you wanted to do, you could do. And Google started clamping down on that, in part because they just had so many employees. There was just no way to, keep track of that sort of thing. Right. So, I mean, and there were some other things I think that Google was clamping down on a little bit. And so that's part of the shift too. Most of the working for Google or working for Apple bias I've encountered has actually come down along partisan lines, believe it or not.
Interesting.
Like, I don't work for Apple. Sure. I'm not interested in their control
agenda or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or their fascist agenda, which, you know, take your pick.
Sure.
And anyway, nonetheless, though, I do believe that currently Apple is perceived as a great place to work.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I just wanted people to know that, you know, that Google is not seen as by employees and prospective employees. Google is rarely seen as the enemy that we often, as consumers, especially Apple fan based consumers, see them as.
Correct. That's absolutely because that's a partisan issue too.
I didn't realize that it would. I mean, it's a. I wouldn't call it a. Maybe it is a political partisan issue, but I mean, it's just.
Well,
a, it's
by a partisan. Preference. I mean, Android versus
iOS. Okay.
Open versus controlled. That sort of partisan thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Got it.
So. Anyhow, what I'm hoping is that what comes out of what Google has already started doing, what Apple is beginning now, is that we see a shift in how a lot of these service employees are treated, and that that they will hopefully be in a better place economically so that they can actually live where they're working. Because right now, Silicon Valley is not a place where a lot of these contract type jobs bring in enough money so that you can actually live there.
Yeah. Oh, Silicon Valley is right now. It's rents are exploding. I have no business living here. I'll just get that right out. I mean, it's rents are skyrocketing, and it's in large part because of the massive amounts of wealth pouring in from Google, Facebook, Apple, and maybe a few of the other tech companies that are out here too. There's just a lot of money going around, and it jacks up home prices, and that in turn jacks up rent prices, and it's a pretty serious thing going on.
Sure. And well, geez, how about even if you went to go out for lunch and buy a sandwich?
That's not. I don't really think that's caught up to rent, to be honest.
I don't see. I mean, I travel enough out there, and compared to other places, I don't feel. I mean, hotel room rates are certainly high in San Francisco, but even that, not grossly so. And certainly eating out, eating meals out or whatever, you could spend more in Naples, Florida, where I just was, than maybe San Francisco at times. I don't see a huge delta there. Yeah,
there's San Francisco and there's the rest of Silicon Valley. And San Francisco Correct. Has been known for the high rent prices for a long time. It's one of the most expensive markets in the U.S.
That's right.
It's like Boston, Manhattan, and you know, San Francisco were usually the three most expensive markets.
Even but Boulder look affordable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now we have – rent prices skyrocketing in San Jose, Sunnyvale, just all of Santa Clara County. And that's because Apple and Google and Facebook have been doing so much hiring. So I mean, San Jose does not have the density of San Francisco, and San Jose has historically lagged way, 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 way behind San Francisco, but it's been catching up. Certainly not to San Francisco levels, but it's been catching up.
Yeah. And it's just spreading around. Yeah.
It's just a natural, gentrification is awful for the people it affects negatively, but there's no way around it. Aside from strict government control over where we live, there is no way to stop gentrification or its opposite, which is urban decay.
That's true.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yep. People and, are going to yeah, live
what,
where they
right.
want to live.
What's the answer? We can sit and say it's terrible. I won't even go that far. Although we can sit and say that it's frustrating, but what's the answer?
Well, it's horrible when security guards can't live in the city where they're working. It's also horrible, and in some ways I want to say more horrible, although that's probably not fair, when teachers can't live where they're teaching.
Yep.
It's horrible when people are forced to move from a place they've lived in all their lives because their rents are getting those things have a terrible human toll, a human cost. That is awful for the people that it affects. But
what's the answer?
There is, yeah. I mean, we've been dealing with this for for decades. Certainly, since capitalism has reigned in the U.S. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the answer? I mean, yeah, there is no answer.
Certainly not an answer that we've found yet. Yeah, and I agree with you. I mean, so you could stifle I don't mean to make any of this sound negative, but I'm just going to say the words because they're efficient. You could stifle innovation and keep companies from growing too big and, all of that stuff. But I don't think we want that either, right? I mean, we like to have things like the iPhone and a Retina iMac. And so, therefore, we need to, there's a back and forth on this.
And if we stifle innovation and business growth, those businesses will just go somewhere else where they aren't being held back.
Yeah.
So then not only have you lost the business, but now you've lost the income that all those employees had and you're no better off.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's right. Yeah, it's not, it's no easy answer, but it's interesting. No easy answer. It's good that Apple is shouldering their responsibility as, this world's largest company fairly well, I think.
I think so.
I'm with you there.
I'm sure we could find and we'll hear from people that have very accurate and specific examples of how Apple is very much not doing that. But it seems like they're trending towards fixing a lot of these problems, and not because they have to, but because they want to.
Well, I mean, part of that is because Tim Cook cares about a lot of these things.
He does. And it's very clear that he does. Yes.
And Steve Jobs, for all of his awesomeness, largely didn't.
That's right. Yeah. Well, he was, mildly or perhaps not mildly sociopathic, right? So it just wasn't a concern.
That's true. Yeah.
No, I mean, there were things he...
Yeah, there are other things that he saw that were a bigger issue for him.
Yep.
And so he focused on those.
That's a better way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we're like pretty much out of time. But before we wrap up, Brian, you wrote a piece that I just wanted to highlight real quick about how Nissan Renault is coming out and saying Apple Car is good for the automotive industry, which is going against what a lot of other people in the car industry have said.
It's obviously good for us, is what he said. And his whole point was that Apple can bring legitimacy to electric cars in a way that the auto industry has struggled with. essentially making the Apple's rising tide will lift all boats argument. And that's something that we've been saying, you know, as soon as the story about an Apple car became credible, that's what I've been pointing out, especially with Tesla. I've said that Tesla would benefit from Apple's entry to the market, not be hurt by it. But Nissan Renault is saying, or Renault Nissan, which one is it?
Nissan Renault.
Nissan Renault is saying that that it's going to be good for them too, and they've been an early leader in electric cars.
Yep, they're right. But it's interesting to see this happen because we didn't see early cell phone manufacturers.
Well, Dave, we've seen. I think you may have been out when we were looking at a lot of this, but we had several automobile industries do executives do precisely what we saw with the cell phone market.
Right.
Why would Apple want to enter this market? It's low margins. They're crazy. They don't know anything about making cars.
Stay away, but we're making a ton of money. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was such a replay of the iPhone thing.
Yeah.
And so this is the first bigwig to come out and be and reasonably logical about it.
Yeah. It's logical. Right. I mean, Yeah, it's not a guarantee that Apple's going to do all the right things, but having someone come in and shake up the market that knows how to shake up markets, or at least has a decent track record of doing so, is a good thing. But when you're entrenched in that market, you don't want that. It's a scary thing. Yeah,
right. So it's refreshing to see automotive industry executive come out and say, no, actually, this is good for all of us. And that tells me that that Nissan Renault is more forward thinking about the automotive market than some of their competitors.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Hey, we really are out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up. Dave, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And Brian, it's always great to have you here. So thank you.
Indeed.
And thanks to all of our listeners for joining us again. And if you have any thoughts about Apple and the way they're handling their employment or anything else, let us know on Twitter. You can head over to TMO Daily and chat with me there. All right, we'll see everyone again tomorrow.